Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I want to begin today with a story, a true story, an old story from my college days. There were no dinosaurs then, by the way. My college days at a place that in my estimation then and now was exactly 50 miles away from nowhere, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It was an all-male school, preparing junior and senior students for seminary, because that was its sole purpose. Each year, the administration would bring in four or five well-respected and seasoned pastors to meet with us and discuss with us parish ministry. Now, I was really intrigued by one of those pastors. He was about 40, which I thought was pretty old in those days. And he was about to change calls, which was what made him interesting. He was moving from Valparaiso, Indiana, to Midtown Manhattan in New York City. I like that. He was a child of one of the major families in the Missouri Synod, and he married a child of one of the major families in the Missouri Synod. And he was, frankly, full of himself. He told us this story about his ordination in St. Louis in one of its most historic Lutheran churches, surrounded and prayed for by some of the best known and best respected, best connected pastors in the church. This is what he said. "There I was, kneeling before the altar rail, listening to the words from scriptures tumble down over my head from all those worthies, with their hands on my head, praying for me. Suddenly, I asked myself, who do they think I am? Jesus Christ? And in an instant, he said, I knew the answer. Yes! I want you to know I have never once, at any time in my life, thought of myself as Jesus Christ. But I've always told folks in Bible studies that I've led that if they want to experience the gospel, they need to find themselves in each biblical story. We can do that today as we conclude this interim ministry. Because thanks to you, my soon-to-be fellow parishioners, I know exactly who I am in the story today and where I fit. And I also know where you fit too. 3 years ago, when Carol and I joined this congregation, I was the Canaanite woman. And you were, and you still are, Jesus Christ to me. You see, when we arrived here, we had just experienced from the church the one thing I have worked my whole life to prevent from happening in the church: exclusion, expulsion. Not just the way an ordinary former pastor experiences these, necessarily, I must add, temporarily, as I hope you have all seen here, but in a much more gut-wrenching way. We knew when we got here that we needed a church, the church. And I came here to be part of a congregation and do next to nothing. Because like so many other Canaanite women in the world, I felt that the church was done with me. I was more than willing and satisfied to, as the Canaanite woman says, eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And then this happened. You happened. In ways I thank God for, but I can't begin to explain. You became that welcoming, embracing, healing Jesus Christ to the Canaanite woman that was me. Carol and I will always be grateful because y'all have been and still are Jesus Christ to us, to me. And that's the point of this sermon. That's the point of the gospel. That's the point of the sacraments. That's the point, or better, that's the purpose of every expression of the church: to be Jesus Christ for everyone in the world who has experienced life and felt like the Canaanite woman. That's what the church, that's what Christ the King Lutheran Church, Houston, is called to be. Jesus Christ, visibly present and lovingly active in the world. I've seen that in you, not necessarily in each of you all the time. We are, after all, simultaneously sinners and saints. Yet, as we say it best here, y'all together, gathered, washed, nurtured, nourished, and sent, are and behave like Jesus Christ, present and active in the world. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians says it this way: you are the body of Christ, present and active in the world, and individually members of it. That, by the way, is what the minister, the presiding minister at the table, sees and says every time they lift the bread, look at the bread, see the bread, and all of you and say, the body of Christ. It's not just the bread, you see, that the Spirit infuses. It's y'all, too. My whole goal over these past 2 years has been to get you to deal with as much of the stuff, institutional stuff, building and maintenance stuff, mission strategy stuff, constitution, merger and integration stuff, all that necessary legal and administrative stuff, so that, for God willing, a long new season with a visionary senior pastor, you can concentrate all our energies on being Jesus Christ to Greater Houston, to the world, and to God's good creation. To do that, we don't need to ask, what would Jesus do? That was always a stupid question. To be Jesus Christ active and present in this world, we just need to ask, what did Jesus do? Then go and do likewise. Not out of duty, not out of guilt, not out of shame, but by paying attention to the gospel, receiving strength and courage from the Holy Spirit, praying together, and speaking together in love, taking our reverent best guess about what to do next, and acting confidently and boldly as Jesus did then, and Jesus does now through us. In her letter to us as president of the congregation this past week, Terry Kohler implored us, be Christ to one another. You already know how to do that. But if you need any advice on that matter, just ask any one of the youth in this congregation. They can help you with those one-on-one relationships. They've helped me. But I've been working with you, and I have been praying for something even more than just being Christ to one another. I've been praying that we, the faithful people of Christ the King Lutheran Church, will strive chiefly, mainly, vigorously to be the body of Christ, that is, to be Jesus Christ here and at that other campus for the sake of the world. Shortly in the Apostles' Creed, which I know some of you don't like to say, we're going to say we believe in God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Catholic Church. And then four more things: the communion of saints, forgiveness, resurrection, and eternal life. Taken together, these four things simply say, we have nothing to fear. That makes them gospel. That makes them good news. That makes them life for all. When you say these words in a few minutes, think of that. Not the mess of gender specificity, which is there. Not the shipwreck of the institutional church, which is everywhere. Think of all of that as it's meant to be. Good news for the world. Good news for us. Then, let's eat and drink and become what Christ says we are. The body of Christ. Jesus Christ, risen, present and active in our world through us. I'm ready to take my place with you right there and say yes to all that will be. I know that you're ready too. So let's just Do it. And remember one more thing, not in the text. Don't look back. Look up. Amen.